and greetings to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And we're coming to you live this first Thursday of January 2016. We'll open up the phone lines in a little bit if anyone's tuning in and cares to call in if you have a question or a comment. And we're going to open up first with a word of prayer. And hopefully you tuned in on Wednesday night to the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And we're going to got an update on the young man Noah out in Michigan. It's our brother Zach's nephew, and he's only 19 and not doing well. Was in a head-on collision at the very end of the year and just is not doing well at all. Is still in the hospital, and I believe they have him in a medically induced coma, and just is having swelling of the brain, and so I'm going to ask you. I don't know Noah, but I've got a son that's almost 19, and John and I were kind of texting and talking back and forth about that. You know, we talked about that last night that we do, and as fathers we love our children, and you know we're told to not only love our children, and not only love ourselves, and not only love our God, but we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so I bet that Noah there's he's probably got parents, and he's probably got friends and family that are very concerned. And so as we open up in prayer, we're going to include a prayer for Noah. So we'd sure appreciate it if you would remember him in your prayers as well. Well, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the blessed and holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you give us this opportunity to be here, that you give me this opportunity, Lord, to be here at the Radio Ranch, Mike, and I thank you for it, Lord. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon me, to, Lord, give me the words to say and the scriptures to read, and we give you all the praise and glory for it, Lord. Father, we do pray for this young man, Noah, this young 19-year-old back in Michigan, Lord, and he's in a bind right now, Lord. He's in a tough way. But Father, we have hope. We have hope in your word. We believe in the promise of your word. And Lord, as we read your word, we see that was one of the things you did while you were on this earth, and one of the things your disciples did, and it's one of the things you tell us to do, and that is to heal those that are in need of healing. Well, Lord, we have Noah that is in need of healing, Lord. He's been in a bad wreck, and so we lift him up to you, and we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that he be healed, that his brain swelling go down, that his broken femur, Lord, just heal up, that he has no further problems from that, Lord, that his broken back doesn't cause him any problems, that it's healed. And we pray that knowing and believing you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that for Noah. And Father, I pray for Noah's family. Don't know him, Lord, but I pray for them. And I ask for your Holy Spirit to come upon him, for your comforter that has come. Lord Jesus, we do pray for that comforter to be with Noah's family, to comfort them and to draw them nearer to you, O Lord. And we thank you for this. Father, I lift up my brother Jason here, Lord. He's had an uncle pass away this weekend. It's been a tough year along those lines, Lord, with our brother Jason and his family. And so, Lord, I also ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon him, to comfort him, to comfort the family in the loss of this uncle and husband and father and friend. Lord, let your Holy Spirit be upon Jason. Lord, give him the words. Lord, give him the things to say, the words of comfort, the words of direction to give, Lord, to this family. And Lord, let your comfort be on him. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that, Father, your word is true and that you never abandon us, that you are always with us, and that your word, Lord, it comforts us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We know that we have trials, Lord. We have losses. but Lord, we are to persevere through. In 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help those that are grieving. Help those that are troubled, Lord, to persevere and to endure, and send your comfort upon them. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. And amen. Well, we had that on the prayer chain last night, and if you would like to be on the prayer chain, if you need prayers, you can ask us, and we'd be glad to pray for you and to put your request out on the prayer chain that we email out. I'll have one, the good Lord willing, we'll have one emailed out tomorrow. We had a couple that came in late today, and so we'll put those out tomorrow. And so if you would like to be a prayer warrior, if you would pray, you know, in Ephesians, we're told, even after we put on the full armor of God, let me flip over there, right here in Ephesians 6, we talk about the full armor of God, we're told to pray. We're told to pray. Right here, verse 18. Now, this is after you've put on the full armor of God. Standing firm, taking up the shield of faith, the helmet, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, with this in view. And so we are to do that. We are to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And I know that's easier said than done. But when we read this, when we are reminded of putting on the full armor of God, and you should be doing that, especially fathers, you should be doing that every day, praying the Lord's Prayer, praying the full armor of God, putting on the full armor of God, and praying it on, that protection on your wife and on your children and your grandchildren. And then, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And then he says, pray on my behalf. And I'll sure put that out, and I'll say, Remnant, pray on my behalf. Pray on my behalf that that I will be walking in God's will, and I will be doing and hearing and listening and doing what I'm supposed to do. Because know that we pray that for you, Remnant. And so we are to be a praying people. It's part of what we do. It's part of how we access God. It's part of how we draw near to Him. So if you would do that, and I'll ask you, if you don't get the prayer chain, well, if you're not going to pray, then don't get on it. You're better off not to be on it. Don't waste the time that it takes to send it. But if you'll pray, if you will pray for the saints, as Ephesians 6 says that we are to do, well, send me an email, preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher, preacher@sfaw.org, and say, I'll pray. Send me that prayer chain. And we'll do it. And maybe you don't have an email. Maybe you don't have a computer. That's fine. We encourage you to join us on Wednesday night. And have an opportunity to hear what the saints are doing, what the saints are going through. And take that opportunity to pray for them. I encourage you to do that. Well, hopefully you've got your Bible reading plan for 2017. We've been sending them out. We mailed them out to everybody on our mailing list, and we're still sending them out to prisoners. You know, we have quite a growing prison ministry here at Scriptures for America. And one of the things we do, of course, we don't charge any of the prisoners, and we send books and reading materials and Bibles to them, and of course the newsletter, and the 2017 Bible reading plan. And in doing mail this week, I think we had 15 new prisoners that had written to us and said, hey, I'd like the newsletter, or I'd like to start the Bible Law course. And so we're continuing with that. And we're able to do that here at Scriptures for America because of your support, because your tithes and your offering, and we are to be tithing where we're spiritually fed, and because the remnant is faithful and they do that, well, we are able to have an ever-growing prison ministry. And we are to remember the prisoners, and we are to do what we can to visit them there. And if we can't physically visit them, well, this is the next best thing. So that's what we do. But the Bible reading plan this year, a little different, and it's by categories. I can remember hearing Pastor talk about the different categories. Oh, well, that's the prophets, and those are called the minor prophets, and these are called the epistles, and you know, these are called the, this is where the law is found, and of course the Psalms, and so I remember Pastor talking about it, and having him talking about having to learn it and going through seminary and whatnot, and so when we were looking for a Bible reading plan, we found this. Found it online, modified it a little bit to make it what we felt is a little simpler, a little easier to read. And I can tell you, I didn't get to read Romans 1 and 2 completely on January 1st, on Sunday. But my wife and I sat down Monday morning and read the first two Bible readings. And we've been able to do that. And we sat down again this morning and caught up and got through Romans 10. And I thought I'd just talk a little bit. A couple things came out in reading this Romans 1 through 10 this week that I thought were pretty interesting. That I know I've read them before, and hopefully I'll get to read them several more times before I don't get to read the Bible anymore. And so I thought I'd share a couple things with you. That's kind of what we do. So hopefully the TV's turned off, and we can take a little time to read the Bible. Right in the very beginning of Romans, and remember Romans, written by Paul, about 57 AD, 50 AD is the time of when this was written, and talks a lot about the law, a lot about faith, and of course, a lot about our Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing here in Romans 1, he says down here, verse 12, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And I guess I should have started up here in verse 9, but this is Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verse 9, for God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request that perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. Because Paul's writing to these Romans, and he had never met them. He had heard of their faith. He had heard of the churches that were put together, and he wanted to go as part of his missionary journeys to go there. But I don't know if he ever actually, reached them or not. But he was writing to Christians he did not know. But he knew them by what he had heard. And so he says, God is my witness that I pray for you all the time. And in verse 11, he says, for I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. And that means you may be strengthened. That is, that I may be encouraged, he says, together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And so, you know, how does that apply to us today, 2,000 years later? Well, guess what? When we come together, we are encouraged. But you know, if you don't join in, well then how am I going to be encouraged by you? And if you don't tune in, if you don't join us in our live programs, if you don't, then how are we going to encourage you? And that's part of what our calling is here at the ministry, is to encourage, to exhort, to motivate, to encourage one another, to love and good deeds. And that's what Paul's writing here is. He says, hey, I want to come because he says, I know if I can come and spend time with you, I will be encouraged. In verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And you know we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. Sure seems like a new spirit in the land. We've talked about that. And so, you know, it sure seems that we are seeing and hearing of people being even further encouraged to share the gospel. Part of it is so that when we can be encouraged, whether it's speaking to a brother on the phone or fellowshipping on the radio, on the computer as we are now, and we are encouraged, well, we should want to encourage others. And that's part of our calling. You know, Paul goes on here in verse 18, in so much of Romans talks about belief, and it's a start. Believing in him is a start, for sure. We understand that that's more than just a thought process, but there are certainly consequences for those that don't believe. In verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And part of the gospel is us not being ashamed of being able to call sin, sin. The wrath of God will be revealed. And when you read on, you know, quite a bit here, New Testament Romans, he's coming against the homosexuals. He's coming against those that have exchanged, as verse 25 says. They have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And that just describes our society today. Now, this is New Testament. This isn't Old Testament law. This is New Testament love of Christ, right? Love of Jesus and his disciple, his apostle. That, guess what? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and sin is still sin. And so the second half of this first part of chapter 1 of Romans goes into that. Verse 28, as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness. And so we see here sometimes why these things happen, but it's still sin. It's still sin. And then it goes on and lists them. Wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy. Full of envy. You know, we're told, and we're told not to covet, and that's Paul's warning here. And so we're not to be envious. We're not to be envious. You know, if somebody that we know, whether they're a Christian or not, but you know, if they have if they've been given a gift that we haven't, well, rejoice with them. Don't be envious of them. You know, that's a sin of the flesh. We have to make sure that we overcome that. Anyway, so just a couple interesting things that kind of popped out at me there in Romans 1. And when you read through it, don't have time to go through it all tonight, but it's interesting how Paul, he talks so much about the faith. He talks about in chapters 1 and 2 God's anger, God's righteous anger against human sin, because all have sinned, and we see that, you know, all have sinned, everyone falls short of God's standard. God had desired us to be better than we are, but through Adam, sin entered in, and we've been dealing with that ever since, but that doesn't change that God hates sin. That doesn't change that God still has his standard. But what changes is that God himself provides a way. He doesn't change. He says, nope, I've said it. It's true. It has to happen. That's that law. And no one could keep it for righteousness. No one could attain it to the level that it needed to be attained. And so God provides a way to overcome that sin that is in the land, that sin that is in each and every one of us. And in Romans 3, I think, let's see here, 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. The righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul goes over this time and time again, that it is, we are justified by faith. Now, it doesn't do away with the law. No, it establishes it. And so I encourage you, if you have not read these first few chapters of Romans, they're not very long. They're really not. I encourage you, plan on it in the morning. Plan on getting up, set your Bible where you can get up in the morning, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and in the quiet of the morning, read through these. And if you're like me, you'll have to read through them two or three times. You know, but and remember that the chapters, those, you know, man separated those. Man put those in, because many times when you read, you're reading like at the end of 5. The law came in so transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we may think, okay, I've read verse 5, and so you're thinking about that and talking about it, and it may be a day or two before you get to verse 6, but verse 6 really just, or chapter 6, continues on. What should we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? And if you haven't read that right before it, it's not going to fit. It's not going to make sense. So anyway, I encourage you to read through it. It talks about the law. Boy, it sure presents that. But it is, you know, we are justified. We have to have that faith, because we're justified by faith, it says in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, there doesn't seem to be a lot of peace with God today. People may think they have peace with God, but you know, when you look around, when you talk to people, you sure don't see a lot of peace on people's faces. Well, if we have that faith, that's how we are made righteous. That's how we are justified. And when you read through Romans 5, starting in verse 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now see, that's where that belief comes in. We have to believe that. And if we believe that, well, then we will do what the Word tells us to do. We don't just believe and then go our merry way. No, we believe and obey. We believe and repent. We believe and repent and then obey the Word, and should get baptized properly in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is how the Bible puts it, which is the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of our sins. Got that going on in Fairbanks, Alaska tonight. How about that? Talked to our brother Howard, and I believe it's tonight. We talked to him earlier today, real quick. Had just come in from, I'd been out plowing snow. We got 3-foot snow drifts all over the radio ranch, but we've got baptisms going on up in Alaska. So praise the Lord for that. And because it's answered prayer, but it's people returning to God. Not going to church. Not just going to church. Not people becoming more religious. Not people doing what grandma and grandpa did because grandma and grandpa did it. in getting dunked in water to join a church, because that's not a baptism. That's not a baptism. And so, and we read about baptism right here in Romans 6, verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Wow. Have you ever had baptism described like that? Hey, go join Christ in death. You look at it. It's in Romans 6. It's on page 876 on my Bible. That might not be the same page number as yours, but that's where it is. Romans 6, verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. Hey, get buried with Christ. See, that's not preached, but see, there's a reason for that. There's a reason that this symbology is given. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important. Let's read on. Verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, guess what's coming? Now, if we've been baptized with him, we've been baptized into his death. We've been buried with him. Why? Well, let's see. If we will share in his burial, if we will share in his death, guess what? So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You want to walk in newness of life? You have to do. Paul's telling him this is what you do. This is what has to happen. Verse 5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now what if we have not become united with him in the likeness of his death? Are we going to be able to become united with him in the likeness of his resurrection? Think about that. I believe this. I believe it. I believe, verse 8, and if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. How? How can I be dead to sin? Because we have been buried with him through baptism. Because we have been baptized into his death. That's how we can be dead to sin. And verse 11 says, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Anyway, caught my attention. I got to read it a couple times, and the wife and I got to talk about it. And I you know, when you start to have your eyes opened, and as Pastor Peter's taught, especially on baptism, you see the import, you start to anyway. Sometimes it's 20 years and we're still seeing the importance. But we see the importance of it, how it is throughout the Scriptures. From the Red Sea to Revelations. It's throughout it, and it's right here in Romans. Well, folks, we have the phone lines open tonight. If you want to call, 307-745-5913. Just talking about Romans, having a little, I don't know if you call it a study or just a recollection of the first few chapters of Romans. And I encourage you. I try not to ask for much, but I will ask this. Read these first few chapters of Romans. this week. Start your new year off right. And we know it's just the calendar year, just the count, but that's the year we go by. That's the date we write on our checks. So we understand that the solar year was the biblical year, and that starts in Abib. And that's in about March 20th is about when that rolls in, according to our calendar, how that fits together. But you know, we're in a new calendar year. And there are some things that Christians are supposed to practice. There are some things that we are supposed to do. We talked earlier about praying, being a praying people, being on the prayer chain, being a prayer warrior. You ever get moved by the Spirit, whether it's with just to pray for someone? You see somebody, even if it's in a restaurant or a department store, and boy, you can sense a heaviness and a burden that's upon them. Does that ever happen? I mean, it's not that it happens to me a lot, but it's happened before. And you know, sometimes you just, if you're in the habit of praying, if you're familiar with praying, if you're comfortable with praying, if you have been practicing righteousness, part of that is praying. If you're joining us on Wednesday night and praying, and you're joining us on Saturday morning and praying with us when we pray there, and you're joining us on Sunday and praying, well, then when the Holy Spirit moves you and you are maybe the only Christ that this person that you come across that's troubled or that needs to know God in a better way than they do, and you sense that, you get that calling, that moving, that sometimes that slapping upside the head by the Holy Spirit. Well, see, if you're not comfortable with praying, if you haven't been practicing righteousness, if you haven't been reading your word, seeing how Jesus prayed and how the apostles prayed and how David prayed, if you're not comfortable with that, which you're supposed to be. Now, doesn't mean we have to get up in front of the church and pray, but you know, prayer is between you and God. I don't need to hear it. There's many times I pray and God is the only one that hears it. And so I guess this is on my heart to share that if we're not comfortable with praying, if we're not used to praying, if it's something we just do, you know, at lunchtime when somebody's listening, we're going to miss that opportunity. We're going to miss that opportunity to be used by God. Now, if we've done what Romans 6 says, we've believed, we've repented, we've been baptized, the old man has died, we've come to this new life, we are now alive, as verse 11 says, to God in Christ Jesus. Well, guess what? Well, now we have work to do. Now it comes into works and deeds. No, we're not. We don't have justification by that. We don't have sanctification by that. We're not saved by works and deeds, but we are judged by words and deeds. Revelation 22:12. If you want to flip over there, keep your hand in Romans, but flip over there. Last page of the Scriptures. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. You want a second witness? Revelation 20, verse, talking about the books open, the book of life. And verse 12, Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead, hallelujah, which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. According to their deeds. And so we can believe, and that's a start, and then we do. then we are doers of the word. And I guess I keep coming back to this because we are constantly either ministering to people on the ministry who have friends or family that are of the belief only faction, or we have friends and people that we see it. And yes, we believe, but then we do. And so praying is one of the things we are to be doing. Praying. Being a doer of the word. Not just praying, but being a doer. And you know, we don't always do what we want to do, do we? And we don't always not do what we don't want to do or what we shouldn't do. Usually we don't do the things that we don't want to do. That's usually how it rolls around. But, you know, there's times that we do things that, you know, when we look back on it, it's like, I really should not have done that. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just confession night. You know, there's times that we look back and we say, you know, what came over me? Why? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? There may be times you have a conversation with someone, and then, boy, after it's like the Monday morning quarterback. Why did I say that? I should have said this. Well, one way that we can do what we should do is to be in prayer, is to be more comfortable with prayer. You know, if you're, and I speak to husbands again, if you're not comfortable praying with your wife, if it's not a habit, you know, people have habits. Sometimes you have a habit, you get up and drink coffee together in the morning, or, you know, you whatever. But if it's not a habit, men, make it a habit. Make it a habit. Get comfortable with praying with your wife. Okay? I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to. Guess nobody wanting to call in tonight. That's all right. I got about almost 15 minutes left in the program. But we do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. You know, Paul writes about the conflict that we have. And we all have it. I think if you don't, you're just not recognizing it. But we all have that conflict, I do believe, because the Bible says it. It's found in Romans 7. We'll pick it up in verse 14. And he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin." So he says, so wait a minute now. The law is spiritual, and I'm supposed to be able to obey it spiritually, but I'm of the flesh, he says. Sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. I can say hallelujah to that. There's times I find myself, it's like, what? Wait a minute here. I don't understand this. Why am I doing this? I do not understand, but I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. You know, sometimes we have bad habits. Sometimes we just aren't disciplined enough. And I think that's why this is in here, to give us hope. We don't have to stay that way. If you find yourself doing this, I'm not practicing what I would like to do. If you're not reading the Bible as much as you'd like to, then practice it. Practice it. One way to practice it, get a Bible. That's a good start. Step two might be take the Bible with you when you, and you can fill in the blank, when you drive, when you go to work, when you, whatever, when you go to the gym, if that's what you do. Have a little Bible you can keep in your locker. We've got little paperback New American Standard Bibles. We've got some nice leather ones as well. You don't have to get it from us. Get a good Bible somewhere. I know many people that commute a lot and they listen. Boy, that's a great way to do it, to listen to the Bible. That's faith comes by hearing. And so if you're not practicing what you would like to do, then start practicing. and look at it as practicing righteousness. That's how the Bible looks at it. If we will start practicing the things that we would like to do because we've read about them in the Word, we know that they're pleasing to God. We know praying for others is pleasing to God. We know helping others is pleasing to God. We know reading His Word is pleasing to God. Those things, you know, they don't just come naturally. We all are, as it says here, of the flesh. We all have to work. Most of us have families. We have to fight that daily fight of faith. We all do. But when we find ourselves not practicing what we'd like to do and doing the very thing we hate, well, if you find yourself in that place, change. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And you can too. This past Sunday at church, I hope you joined us. If you didn't, we got the DVD Churches out on Monday. And so for the hundreds of those that go out, our brother Steve brought the communion message. I took half a page of notes. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And one thing that he mentioned was, from a previous communion message, was, you know, part of communion, we come together and we judge ourselves. We are to judge ourselves rightly. And one thing that he mentioned was, you know, if you're not convicted of anything, you know, you can always ask God, God, what do I need to repent of? God, what do I need to change? You could say, God, what do I need to practice more so I would be more pleasing to you? Because, you know, when we are pleasing to God, we are blessed. It's a blessing to us. That's a fringe benefit. So if you want to be blessed, do things that are pleasing to God. Practice righteousness. Practice righteousness. It's kind of like in James when it says, pray for one another so that you may be healed. Well, hey, who doesn't want to be healed? I want to be healed. I don't want to have to mess with high blood pressure. I don't want to have to mess with achy elbows. I want to be healed. Well, you know, God, heal me. I want to be healed. What does His Word say? Believe, and then what? Pray for others. And it's just like this here. When we do things that are pleasing to God, when we practice those things, when we see that we are not practicing what we would like to do to please God, but we do the very thing we hate and that He hates, well, then we change. And it's as simple as that. We read on. Verse 16, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. And he goes on and talks about that how the sin comes up. Verse 18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. He says, I'm willing, I want to do good, but the doing, I don't get to do it, he says. For the good that I want, verse 19, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. And so, I think this is in there because we all have that conflict. We all have to overcome. And then there's times that we find ourselves, you know, that we need to get back to practicing the righteousness. It's not here, but else, you know, the Bible tells us that those who practice lawlessness do not enter into the kingdom. Okay? Those that practice lawlessness. And you know, the word practice is not a one-time thing. The word practice is, you know, you do it over and over and over. You know, we had the Olympics this past year. And we talked a little bit about this on a scriptural review of the news, I think, when about the time of the Olympics. And so, what do you practice? Do you practice... And if you practice lawlessness over and over and over, guess what? You're not going to enter the kingdom. We started out Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And so those that practice lawlessness do not enter in. Well, Romans 8, he tells us, I'm not practicing what I want to do, what I need to be doing. Well, guess what? If you'll work on reading the Bible daily, at least every other day, guess what you're doing? You're practicing. You're practicing. You're getting ready for the big exam. If you'll pray on a daily basis. You know, when you wake up in the morning, when you wake up and you go about your business, and about the time you get your coffee cup poured, tell God good morning. Go to Him in prayer. Start your day off in prayer. You know, and it can be something simple as, Lord, good morning. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this hot coffee. Thank you for that hot shower I just had. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for a warm home when it's 15 below zero outside. Thank you for my wife and my children. And that maybe that'll just lead you right into the Lord's Prayer. And you know, if you'll do that, then by the time you got your first cup of coffee poured, you're already having fellowship with God. You're practicing righteousness. You're drawing near to Him. This is the time of year for us to develop better habits, to practice what we would like to do. It is. This is the best time of year to start that. It just is. Whether it's because that's what everybody else is doing, I don't know. But it is. Practice reading your Bible. I love Romans 8. Who had Romans 8 on yesterday? And, you know, I wish I could stay another hour just to talk about Romans 8. Verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, guess what? God did. Didn't do away with the law, but what the law could not do, God did. Wow, we're about out of time. And then I would have to say, over the last 2 years, this has been my new favorite verse, to share with others, to talk to with others. And it's Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You know, I could show you a picture of my father's tombstone. And on it, on his side, and he said, put it there, it says, never had a bad day. Never had a bad day. Because God's always been in control. He causes all things. Oh, Lord, I don't like this thing that's happening in my life right now. Well, for those who love God, He'll work it for good. Well, you don't understand. My truck's broke down. I don't have the money to fix it, and this and that. If you love God, He'll work it together for good. Now, I can't control the all things, but I can love God because I know I'm called according to His purpose. So I can love God. And He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I tell you to do. When I fall short, I repent and return to God and pray and practice the things that I want to do that I know are pleasing to Him. Well, I'm about out of voice. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Again, if you want to be part of the prayer chain, if you want to be one of the prayer warriors, our email is preacher@sfaw.org, and we'd be glad to add you to that list, that email list, and have you pray with us and for us, and we will sure pray for you. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Well, thanks for tuning in. We thank you for your support. And plan on joining us Saturday mornings, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast, right here, at Scriptures for America for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Thanks, and we'll go out with a song I like. Hope you like it.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is.